Welcome to the Business of Government Hour. I'm Paul Lawrence, a partner at PricewaterhouseCoopers and the co-chair of the Endowment for the Business of Government. We created the endowment in 1998 to encourage discussion and research into new approaches to improving government effectiveness. Find out more about the endowment by visiting us on the web at endowment.pwcglobal.com. The Business of Government Hour features a conversation about management with a government executive who is changing the way government does business. Our conversation this morning is with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy in the Office of Management and Budget. Good morning, Angela.
Good morning.
Well, Angela, the Office of Federal Procurement Policy is a mouthful. Could you tell us about its mission and its activities?
Certainly. The mission of the Office of Federal Procurement Policy, or as most people call it, OFPP, is to coordinate efforts to improve federal procurement law, policies, and practices which affect all federal and federally assisted purchases of goods, property, and services. In essence, OFPP is responsible for the policies by which the executive branch purchases over $200 billion in goods and services every year, everything from paperclips to nuclear submarines. For those of your listeners that may be more familiar with federal personnel policies, the role of the Office of Personnel Management, or OPM, is very similar to OFPP. OFPP is to federal procurement and contracting what OPM is to federal personnel policy. And much like OPM, we coordinate the setting of policy for the executive branch, but we're not actually doing any buying. That is, we don't award contracts. We leave that to the individual agencies, much like OPM doesn't actually hire people except for people at OPM. The activities of our office are numerous and probably too numerous to list, but I would like to focus on four areas of what we do with our mission. First, I probably spend about 60% of my time focusing on Congress and legislative issues. How should the procurement system be run? What role should competition play? And what should be the basic statutory framework for procurement? OFPP works extensively with the Senate Government Affairs Committee, House Government Reform, Senate Armed Services, and House Armed Services in fashioning acquisition-related portions of the defense authorization and other government-wide legislation. We also work a great deal with some of the small business committees, the Senate Small Business Committee and the House Small Business Committee. Aside from the legislative area, which I spend a great deal of time in, our second focus, and very important to me, is OFPP's role in coordinating the Federal Acquisition Regulatory Council, which is responsible for maintaining the federal acquisition regulation. Anybody who's even ventured a little bit into the federal procurement area knows that the FAR is something of the Bible for the contracting community. Really, the FAR embodies in one regulation all the statutory and policy direction that govern contracting, and I serve on the FAR Council with representatives from DOD, GSA, and NASA, and we're really the primary procurement policy making body. And updating the FAR, keeping it current with statutory changes and other things to reflect sound policy is a pretty significant job. Third, and I think we'll probably talk about this in more detail later, is the responsibility of OFPP for certain portions of the President's management agenda, specifically competitive sourcing, which is a new area really for OFPP in many respects. And fourth, I serve as chair of the Cost Accounting Standards Board, which is the regulatory body for setting the accounting rules for how the government makes payments under large federal contracts, primarily with defense contractors. And we're involved in a lot of other areas as well, but I think those are the big ones.
And what's your role as the administrator of federal procurement policy? What do you actually do?
It's to provide leadership in the procurement area and to carry out the president's agenda in establishing procurement policy. I think I see myself something as an honest broker, balancing a great deal of competing interests in this area, of which there really are many competing interests, and applying the president's overall goals to achieving results. The best example I can give you is really in the area of competition, which has been hotly debated in the procurement area for a while. Some people think there's too little. Some people think there's too much. The president overall is really committed to making the government a market-based government, making our departments and agencies market-based, and that application applies to procurement, and in that competition is, he's really committed to making sure that there's competition in virtually every aspect of government performance. So there's a lot of policy debates, I think, about between Congress, contractors, and among the agencies on how do we increase competition in federal contracts. And I fundamentally believe that competition is what improves quality, reduces price, and is the key to ensuring that we're maintaining integrity in how we spend the $200 billion in goods and services.
Two key pieces of legislation really changed the landscape of procurement in government. The Federal Acquisition Streamlining Act of 1994 and Clinger-Cohen Act of 96. What's been their impact on federal procurement?
These laws were implemented with some substantial revisions to the Federal Acquisition Regulation. I think between FASA and Clinger-Cohen, the FAR really underwent some dramatic changes that streamlined and commercialized our acquisition system. Of course, I think the proof is in the pudding, and we have a lot of aspects of those laws to continue to look at. But I think the changes are evident, particularly in light of September 11th. The Pentagon had a contract in place for reconstruction on September 14th. I don't really think that would have been possible under some of the old methods of contracting pre-FASA, pre-Clinger-Cohen. But I also have to tell you that we really have to be concerned about taking a close look at what the effect of these laws have been, on competition particularly. There's no question in my mind that prior to 1994, our procurement system was drowning in paperwork, and we brought around much-needed efficiencies in the system. But in the process, we may have left behind some of our fundamental commitments to competition, and that's really what I see my job as right now, is to making sure that we knew what the goals were, that we achieved the goals, and that we take a close look at what some of the fundamentals, competition, due process, equitable, fair play for offerors and similarly situated situations.
Well, let's spend some time talking about your career. Tell us about your career prior to joining OFPP.
I came to D.C. in 1987 as an intern for Congressman Joe Barton. Worked on the Hill as a legislative aide for him for a couple of years. Worked on some Energy and Commerce Committee issues there. I moved on from there to work at the State Federal Relations Office for the then Governor of Texas, Bill Clements. Was there for a couple years and returned to Texas after his term expired to go to law school at the University of Texas, and decided I missed D.C. a great deal and came back up after law school, worked first for a Texas-based firm, Baker & Botts, for a couple of years in the government law and procurement area on a vast array of issues. And then I moved to another D.C.-based law firm, Miller & Chevalier, and worked there for a number of years, again, on government procurement law issues.
You've been in both sectors, public and private sector. What drew you to public service?
I think it's a fundamental commitment to give back something. It's our system of government that has enabled us to do well in the private sector, but it's essential for people to come back in and to serve in government, to really bring an influx of private sector ideas back into the government. Or I think the government becomes distant from the people that it's trying to serve if they're not a group of people that are really committed to being in the private sector, but when the opportunity arises, coming back to public service and bringing the ideas that they had in the private sector to the public sector, we can't move forward. The government just becomes too distant from the people it's trying to serve. So I think it's important even more so in these times, and I think it's really a privilege in these times to serve. I know there are a lot of people, I'm not the only one, but there's a lot of federal employees out there, particularly in the D.C. area, that get questions from family and friends about, aren't you worried about going to work every day? And I think it's a privilege to be able to serve right now. There's a lot of people out there that are putting a lot more on the line than simply coming into work every day in D.C. So it's really an honor in these difficult times to be able to bring some resources, bring some ideas, and to help the government move forward.
Which of the positions you describe best prepared you for your current job?
I think all of them did. I think this job requires a vast array of skills, particularly working with the Hill. Being on the Hill, knowing how it works, having a good number of contacts there helps in this job a great deal. I think you have to know how the system works in order to be able to effectively push legislation through, particularly in the procurement area. In the legal area, I think my experience means I take a very analytical approach to substantive issues. And that's important because the devil is in the detail, oftentimes in the procurement area. And we have to be very careful about how we choose to regulate people. That's one of my topics that I'll keep bringing up again is transparency and the need to make sure that people understand that when we choose to regulate, that it's thoughtful, analytical, we know what we're doing, and we know what the effect of that is. And I think that brings, I think my legal experience brings that to the job.
Why is transparency so important?
People have to know why we're doing what we're doing in the government. Certainly one of my concerns in the acquisition area is that from the private sector, I saw rules and regulations that came out that would oftentimes say 20 comments were received and they were all considered. Well, fundamental to our system of government is the ability for the public to give us comments about regulations and to provide information about how they think we would better be able to run the system. And I think transparency in that aspect means when people do submit comments that they know that we considered them and that there was an analytical process that we went through in thinking about why we're regulating you and what the effect of that will be on you.
This is a good stopping point for a break. Come back as we continue our conversation with Angela Stiles, Administrator for Federal Procurement Policy. In the next segment, we'll ask her to explain A76. If you don't know what it is or how it works, you'll learn when the Business of Government Hour continues.